Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Damn Fine Podcast that is insane in the fembrane. Greetings one and all. Welcome to the show. I hope you're all doing well. We're getting back out there, aren't we? Things are opening. They're opening up. Slowly but surely, we're getting out there. Gigs are coming back. Old Wilson's been gigging. Having a great time. Before we get into this week's show, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our show that we've got coming up. Thursday, the 17th of June, Rich Wilson presents Dark Horse Comedy Live Under the Stars. We're taking the Zoom gig and adding more cameras, lights, a stage, and an intimate live audience. And it's still interactive on Facebook Live, so I'll be emceeing, but we'll have producer Paul be manning the screen, so you can get involved in the chat. You can heckle, producer Paul will relay to me what's going on, and you'll be part of the show even if you're not there. It's going to be great fun. There are limited tickets to be there in the flesh, but that's all online when you apply for your ticket. So join MC Rich Wilson, which is me, Jen Brister. We've got Clinton Baptiste, who was the medium from the fabulous Phoenix Knights. We've also got Amy Cooper and the wonderful Vic Slater will be joining us as well. We've got priority access to tickets to be there outside at the Forum Subridge Wells and priority access to tickets for the live stream. Just submit your email address at darkhorsedigital.co.uk. No commitment, easy peasy. So do that for us. That'd be wonderful. Now, bit more admin, because this podcast is supported by those wonderful boys at Save Our Souls Clothing, Stacey and Mark. Good lads doing good things. If you go to sosclothing.co.uk/membrane and use the 50% discount code membrane, you get money off their range, plus the membrane tees and hoodies. So do that for us, because they're good lads doing good things. You'll love their stuff. It's really good quality, it's ethically sourced, and even the ink is vegan friendly. So what's not to love? You're not giving your money to child slavery, you're giving it to two great lads in Southend, supporting small businesses that are doing big things. Anyway, on with the show. This week, I'm joined by the wonderful comedian Nicola Stephen. I'll be honest, I'd never met Nicola before. And so I always worry when I'm talking to someone on the podcast, I always worry, what are we going to connect? Is it going to be good? Because, you know, what you don't know is that sometimes there have been a couple of people that we haven't really connected that well with. Oh, not very often does that happen, but it's not gone as we thought it might. And so you kind of go, oh, can we put that out? I don't really know. But Nicola was spectacular from the off. She was such a joy to talk to. You'll hear that in the episode. She really is a phenomenal human being. She just, the conversations rattles along to the point we got a bit giddy and we kept like talking over each other. We were just too excited. But she's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I can't wait for you to hear the episode. In fact, let's just get on with it. So coming up in a bit is Nicola Stephen.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Good to see you, Nicola. You all right?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I love your shirt.
Oh, thanks. It's actually a gift from my girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Our first Christmas together. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How's it been? How have you found it all, the lockdown and everything? How's your marbles, mate?
Yeah. I mean, I actually think I'm the most mentally sound I've been in years right now.
Yeah.
But it's been... Each lockdown has had its own different way of affecting me.
Yeah, right, okay.
What about you?
Yeah, same. I've said this a few times. Hang on. The first one, I was strangely zen about it all. I was like, oh, well, it is what it is. You can't help it. We were all locked in, you know. And then I think as it went on, the next lockdown and then the not really knowing what was happening and then people on social media were saying, oh, I'm going out anyway. Oh, this is all in. It starts getting in your head. Mm-hmm. People were getting frustrated. And that's when I started to kind of, I had to sort of step away from it all and go, right, I just need to do what I think is right. And hopefully it's, you know, like just keep away from everyone and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think I did pretty much the same, to be honest, mate. I found it, I mean, I was doing my own special kind of isolation in January and February anyway, because I was having a bit of a depressive spell.
Yeah, right.
I was living with somebody who was an absolute nightmare. Mm. And I just work. I'm a freelance designer as well as a comedian.
Okay.
So my work was quiet anyway. It's always quiet in January and February. Mm. But I kind of like was started like easing myself into social life. And then lockdown came in.
Yeah.
So I can't even say that I made the most of it in the first part of 2020. It was a weird time. And then I guess my depressive state kind of eked into that first bit of the lockdown when it all started happening. And I did the same. I was like, okay, right. I'm not a big fan of the Tory government. I don't really.
You'd be mad if you were, to be fair.
Exactly.
No disrespect. No disrespect to anyone listening that is a fan.
I don't want to isolate anybody.
Yeah,
they're not my number one pick. Let's just put it that way. So I kind of was struggling with a lot of the stuff they were saying anyway. And me and my partner, we kind of were like, well, we're sensible people. We're just going to do what we feel's best and like make things as good as we can in our environments because we don't know how long this is going to go on for.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my mates took longer to get round to the fact that it might not be just a couple of months. Like I had mates saying, oh, by summer, it's all going to be sorted. And now it's a summer later and we're still in this situation.
This is it. Yeah. I think that's what was happening. It kind of, the longer it went on, the more, it was just, like you say, we were just unsure, weren't we? And we were sort of mentally prepared for a couple of months. And then it, you know, like a year later, we're still floundering. And even now, people are still tentatively going back out. There's two groups. Some are like tentatively going out and going, like looking out after the storm going, are we all right? Whereas other people are just like shoes on, out the door, fuck it! Let's go and lick some eyeballs. And it's like everyone, all of us need to meet in the middle and just chill out a little bit.
The medium is the safe space.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
I mean, I left London again. So I left London in the first lockdown and I stayed with my mum for a bit because it wasn't safe to be in the house with that housemate.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, was it that bad?
So, I mean, it is a bit of a story.
Yeah, go for it.
So he, without me and my other housemate knowing, was running an escrow agency from our house.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. He started, like, when he came round to view the flat, he told me that he was in events.
Well, he's not lying. It's eventful.
Yeah, and that he also did a bit of massage on the side, but okay. It was that he was a masseuse that did sex work, basically, okay. Which I'm like, you do you, whatever you feel comfortable with, that's cool, but don't do it in my house.
Yeah, I mean, that's
don't
it.
Don't lie about it.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it, when it's your house and it's...
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be coming and going, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That's throughout lockdown, there was, like, weird men all hours of the day and night. The first one I met when I was in my pants and T-shirt when I'd got up in the middle of the night for a pee.
Oh, shit. That's the last thing
really
you want.
It was really scary. Yeah. I got myself a lock on the door because I didn't know who these people were. I didn't... And I'm sure he wasn't vetting them.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Nah. And, like, oh, I mean, he was... I think if he was sound, I probably would let that bit go a bit because I'd be like, well, I'm sure he's cool. Like, he knows what he's doing. But he was... And I don't like to use this word lightly, but he was mental. He was properly mental.
Yeah.
Like he had a lot. I think he had like personality disorder, and he was a heavy drug user.
Fuck. Okay.
Again.
Yeah.
Cool, but like do something to help yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
That combination.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When people have got seem to have that you know, a personality disorder, because they're unaware of it, they don't realise. And the more you say to them, mate, I think you need to go and have this, I think this is happening. They just get defensive and start saying it's you. Yeah. Like, no, this is you. And you're like, whoa, all right, I can't deal with this then. I don't know what to do.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. I mean, I tried to address it with them a couple of times, not necessarily the mental illness stuff, because we didn't know each other. We're strangers. We met through a friend sending on saying, oh, this guy's looking for a place to live. And I was in a bit of a rush to find people, which is I was like, oh, he seems fine. but it just, I tried to address his like antisocial behavior because he got quite volatile. It was just his drug use was getting out of control and his behavior around the house was really quite scary, to be honest. And after a while, once or twice I was like, oh, please, can you not do this, because blah blah blah. And he would act totally normal in that moment and be like, of course, sorry, I didn't realize. But after a while there was just no engaging with him at all. Eventually I thought, fuck this, I'm not gonna live like this anymore. Especially with like the lockdown and stuff looming. So I spoke to my landlord and I said, look, this guy is completely out of control, he's doing sex work from the house. Can you sort it? So he asked him to leave, but he barricaded himself in the flat. So we were supposed to leave at the end of March, so we'd already been in lockdown for about 10 days at this point. And in those 10 days I knew that he was supposed to be leaving at the end of the month. And he knew, I don't know if he knew that I knew, but neither of us were talking. We had 10 days where it was just us in the house with this weird sort of secret looming over us, and very strange circumstances.
Stressful.
We were just like avoiding each other. Oh my God, yeah. A really stressful start to a really stressful year. And so I just escaped to Somerset and stayed with my mum for a bit, which was just what I needed. And I'm back in Somerset now, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
So I'm moving in with my girlfriend, which is be great.
Yeah, lovely.
But she's buying, so it's just the completion date keeps getting pushed. Quite nice being out in the countryside, you know. I think it's what's contributing to my good mental health, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is it. The first lockdown, we were living in Leon Sea, which is in near Southend. And we were right on the water's edge. So it's where the Thames goes out to sea. So you had that wonderful view and just space. It was really nice, you know, really nice. So I don't know.
Lovely.
I know people that were in London and big cities, and they just said if it wasn't the fact that they had a park nearby, they would have really suffered. So I think it's good, you know. Yeah. Especially Somerset. Somerset's beautiful. I've literally just got back from there. I was in I was near Frome. I did a couple of gigs in Melksham and Road. Which is nice.
That's so weird. Well, Melksham is where I had my first design job out of uni.
Oh, really?
And, like, no one's ever heard of it. I always put Bath
Well, yeah, that's it. I had to get the train to Bath and then get the bus out. And what happened? Well, I got the gigs around the wrong way because I was the gig the next night was in Road and we were staying in Road, but the first gig was Melksham, but I went to Road, and I'm like, oh shit, I need to get the bus back to Bath then. And I'm looking, it's like 1:40 on the bus. I'm like, oh my god, I've really fucked up here. But out of nowhere, a taxi arrived. I didn't even call a taxi, just arrived. That's how great Somerset is. I think it might have been on a ley line or something like that, some hippie shit. And I just magicked up a taxi and he took me to Melksham, which was lovely.
Well, that's brilliant.
Yeah, there you go.
No, so Bath is a really beautiful city.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Mm. I had a wander around there yesterday. It was really nice.
Mm.
Yeah, lovely.
Oh, man. I should have come and seen your gig.
Well, this is it. I've got to be honest. I forgot that I had them in. It was only because. My mate Jared, whose books they are, gigs they are, rang messaged me the day before with the details. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I better go, which is good. So whereabouts are you in Somerset?
I'm in a sleepy little town called Wincanton.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Or as I called when I was a teenager, Wank Cunt Town.
Of course,
because I was very mature.
Yeah,
I hated it here when I was a kid. Well, when I was a kid, I liked it, but teenage to 20s, I hated it.
Yeah, what was it like growing up there? And especially because this is the thing with small towns, they can be quite insular, and so growing up, I mean, you already don't feel like you fit in anyway. But what was that when you were discovering, you know, like you're working out your sexuality, working out who you are? How did that fly?
It was a very weird time. I was talking about this in therapy the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I decided that I needed to settle some things in my mind.
Cool.
Yeah. And I actually had a like very clear moment when I was about 8 and I was either going to France or coming back from France on a ferry with my family. And I don't know what caused this thought to like pop into my head, but I was like, if I was gay, things would make so much sense.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then as quickly as it came in, it left.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm not gay, I'm bi.
Okay.
And in Somerset, I knew no bi people whatsoever.
Mm.
I only knew a couple of gay blokes and like knew of some gay women. But I didn't know anybody that was like me.
Yeah.
And so it was quite weird because I was like, well, I do like blokes, but there is something, I don't fit into that box. So it did take me a long while to even admit it to myself.
Yeah.
And then I met my first girlfriend when I was 19 and that's what caused me to come out.
Yeah, right.
But it was weird. There's a lot of like, I mean, the people around here, like, they're lovely, but there's, like, also a bit of a fear of the unknown.
Yes.
So there's a lot of subtle sexism, racism, homophobia, transphobia. Yeah. They've all got, like, one bloke that's all right that's, like, one of those things. it's a weird time. It was a really weird time for me.
Mm.
And then, meeting my first girlfriend, it kind of clarified a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I ended up staying with her for a lot longer than we should have been together.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was just like, well, she helped me so much. And I was a bit of a heavy drug user when we met.
Right.
And I straightened myself out within our relationship. So I kind of felt like I owed her.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I understand that completely. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's funny. We had a spoken word artist on, 1990s Chris, and he's bisexual. And we were talking. I'd never really had a conversation with someone who was bi before because it's never really been spoken about. Because I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, so I'm of a different generation where these things didn't really get spoken about. Like trans, it was just a simple thing of, oh, they're a man, but they want to be a woman. And that's really all that was said.
Yeah.
And there weren't many that we knew about. It was like not many trans people around. And the same with bisexuality. It was just a case, oh, they like both. And that was it. But talking to Chris, you start to, it's like, and talking to you now, there's more to it than that. It's more complex than just, oh, I can have sex with whoever I want. You know, it's far more complicated.
There was this myth of it, like, the first thing when I'd say I was bi to people would be like, oh, you're greedy. Like, ha ha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or that it's not a real sexuality, it's a stop on the way to Gay Town or whatever.
Mm.
But, like, I really do love men and I really do love women. I happen to only have had serious relationships with women. I'd say I call myself a demi-gay because I'm a bit more gay than I am bi, right. I think.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, it's all a scale, isn't it? I think everybody's on the spectrum in one way or the other.
Oh, for sure.
Like you're a heterosexual man.
I am.
But I'm sure there's certain men that you think, hello.
Mate, yeah. I do a whole bit in my set about when I worked in a gay sauna and I had to pretend I was gay. And then this guy, I became friends with a guy in there and he said, I want to spend the night with you. And I went, and I panicked. I'm like, oh shit, I need the job. I need the money. I don't know what I'm going to do. And panicking, I said, you can nosh me off for 100 quid. And he went, 100 quid. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, taking a piss. So then this became our thing. He'd come in and he'd be like, oh, if I had 100 quid. And I'm like, I know, mate, if you had 100 quid, eh? What we could do, the things we could do. And he came in one day with 100 quid. And I'm like, oh, fuck, now what am I going to do? Like, I need the job, I need the money. And then we ended up in a cupboard, and, he noshed me off for 100 quid. But the thing is, do you know what? It's one of the best blowjobs I've ever had.
I bet.
It was spectacular. I've never really spoken about this before. I've done it in my set, but I've never really discussed it. It was magnificent. And what happened was, the reason he wanted to do it, and because he knew I was straight, he knew they'd cottoned on because I wasn't joining in with everything that was going on.
So
when we finished, he went, you're straight. We all know you're straight. And I went, how do you know? He went, everyone's talking about it. You don't join in. The other staff members here, they all join in. They're all getting told off all the time to join in. But you never do. No one's seen you on the scene. You've got this weird story about living with a girl, but you've got a boy on the side. Everyone knows you're full of shit, mate. You're straight. He goes, and I wanted to do this because, like, you know, I sucked off a straight dude. And I'm like, I didn't know that was a thing. But it was so good. And then a couple of weeks later, he said, you're up for money. And I'm like, I'm a bit strapped. He went, would you want to do it again? I mean, you really? He went, mate, because I'd love to. And I'm like, all right then. So we did it again. But it's one of the best blowjobs I've ever had. And I never, when we were doing it, I didn't look at him. I was kind of looking up and then I was thinking about the stuff that I like. But it made me realise that, yeah, I'm not gay, but a blowjob is a blowjob and it doesn't matter who's giving it. It's going to be spectacular. Mm-hmm. And it really was. And even now, sometimes I'm like, I wonder what he's doing, you know, just to do it again.
Yeah, but, totally.
Yeah.
And you're no less straight than you were before that happened.
No.
Even straight people are on a spectrum of some sort. Like,
yeah. You know? I think the discussion about being fluid is never come up. That's a new conversation. Before it was just like you're either gay or you're straight or you're bi or you know or whatever. But now it's like, do you know what? Sometimes I've had hugs with mates, and I'm like, oh God, that's a good hug. It's just like, oh yeah. So it's more about contact. Sometimes. I'm really into like nice aftershaves and perfume and things like that. So if a smell really catches me, I will say to that person, I know this is weird, but you smell spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, I think there is that. Sometimes it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the sexuality or it doesn't matter about gender.
No,
it's just,
no,
it's more about people. And I think that's what we're going into more now.
Yeah.
Which is
nice. I mean, I think like in the past that was a thing as well. Like there wasn't such binary language when it came to sexuality and pleasure. And I think the more so now we're heading back to that. And I think some people are scared of it, but I think it's a much safer place to live in where you don't have those like restraints, like coming out.
Yeah.
Like you have to keep coming out as a queer person.
Yeah.
And it fills my heart with joy to think of kids that are like me, that like they can just be talking about men and women and people will just know. And it won't need to be a conversation.
Because
that, I didn't want to have that conversation whatsoever. I just wanted people to know, but but I didn't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But you do, you did. I mean, this was back in 2006 or something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it was a long while ago.
Yeah. But well, that's it, isn't it? I was saying this yesterday. I was talking to someone else, and we were just saying that we're like the first sort of generations that are having these conversations.
Yeah.
So it's all very new about, you know, the fact that it's less so now, I imagine, but and it's only just started, like you say, about having to build up the courage to come out, you know, whereas it shouldn't be a thing. It should just, like you say, just based on what you're talking about and who you are, people should just know.
Yeah, you know? I think we are heading in that way. And I mean, like, there wasn't like a big deal with my dad. I think he found out from somebody else. Because, I mean, at the time when I was coming out, we had a bit of a strained relationship.
Right.
So he just found out and was fine, actually. It was actually like one bit of really good parenting I received from him. he's always been super accepting of my partners, and that's really nice. But I had quite a shit coming out with my mum.
Right.
I'd been in a relationship for probably about a year and a half, and I lived with her in a one bed flat, and I kept it from my mum that we were together. I was like, oh, I've got a futon in the living room. Like, come on, mate. Like, you're an idiot. Like, she knows this woman's a lesbian and you're you. Yeah. And so when I finally came out to her, she said, I know. And it was kind of cold, and then she left. And that was horrible.
Yeah.
And she actually, it was really lovely. Like, a few years ago, she came to visit me for my birthday in July in London.
Mm.
And she apologized for the way that she reacted.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, I didn't realize that I needed that apology so much.
Yeah,
of course. It made such a difference in our relationship. We got a lot closer as a result of that.
Well, that's lovely.
It was really nice. I used to have a bit I still sometimes use it because I do think it's funny, where I said that I thought my mum was homophobic for the first 9 years of me being out. It turns out she just really hated my first girlfriend. And it's funny because it's true.
So your sexuality wasn't the issue. It's funny, isn't it? With, like, my mum and dad, very open-minded, and, you know, I know now that if I was gay, it wouldn't have been an issue. They would have been completely fine. I know with my lads, I've said this on here before, it got to a point where I kept saying to them, I was like, look, you know, if you ever want to talk to me about anything, or I just want you to know that this is open, and I will never judge you. I've always, whatever it is, I'll always be there for you. To the point where my eldest went, Dad, for the last time, I'm not gay. Will you stop it? It's just like, I just wanted to make sure 100% that you knew it was all completely fine.
It's all good. No, I think that's great. Yeah, I think annoy your kids into coming out to you.
Imagine that. Way. Just say I'm gay. He never was, just to keep me quiet.
All right, Dad.
All right, fine.
Get over it.
I was looking at your, you've got your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your podcast called?
I'm Still Standing.
That's it, yes.
Yeah.
And it's about trauma and how you've dealt with it, and your guests that come on and talk about their trauma. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. How'd you ask? So what the fuck happened then? You can't do that.
Well, I mean, I've had a bunch of traumas. So the thing that I told you about my housemate, that was what really inspired me to start this podcast. And it was... Yeah, the first series was kind of me, before I got therapy, doing a bit of therapy on my own. And it really did help me to start doing therapy. So it got me used to talking to people on Zoom openly. And my parents divorced when I was about 12. Well, they separated when I was 12. It took them 6 years. That was quite traumatic.
Yeah, right. Wow.
And there's a bunch of other things. And I just realised that I'm quite a chatty person. I love a good talk, and I like a big talk rather than a small talk.
Yeah.
I hate small talk, but
I know what you mean.
I would not really deal with the big stuff properly. Yeah. I would try and push it down, act like it's not happening, and then it would come out in all these weird ways, like extended drug use and heavy drinking and a lot of time in bed, not bathing, all that stuff. But the podcast really helped me to just kind of be honest when I'm feeling a bit shit, you know? Yeah. And my mum actually texted me the other day, said, like, because she went out to work and she was like, "Are you all right? You seemed a little bit off." And usually I'd be like, "Oh, I'm fine." But I said, "No, actually, I'm having a bit of a down day. I'm feeling quite depressed."
Yeah.
So I just was honest. And then that night we did something nice. And that was, and if I hadn't, maybe she wouldn't have said to do something. And so it is amazing how much it's helped me. And I even, like, so I was recording one of these last week, and it was on that day that I was having a down day. And I was like, "Oh, fuck it. I can't do it. My head's too cloudy." And I just thought, do you know what? I've had this in the books for weeks now. Let's just do it. And it did me the world of good.
Oh, for sure.
It was really lovely. Because you must feel with these, like, you get a lot off your chest.
Oh, God, yeah. This has been the best thing I've ever done in terms of getting to know myself and and people, getting to know how people really are, and asking, this is a safe space for me to ask questions like, you know, "So what does it feel like to be trans? What really goes on? What do you feel like?" Talking to women about what it's like to be a woman and things like that. And without looking, you know, and I don't know, sometimes I don't have the right words. I don't have the right vocabulary. I don't know how to ask the questions. So it'll come out like, we talk about trauma just then. And I'm like, "Well, go on, then, what the fuck?" You know, you just don't, you know, I'm not trained at this, but this is a safe enough space. I think people they get that my intentions are pure. I'm not here to...
Absolutely.
I'm not here to upset. I'm here to learn, and then people that listen will also learn some stuff.
Exactly, yeah. You're not a looky-loo. You're not, like, just... Because I always worried that this would be, like, trauma porn, that I would be, like... With every single one that I've done, because I did it with some friends as well as performers, and I've said, "Look, we'll talk about everything and you be as open and honest as you feel comfortable with. And if you share too much in the moment, just let me know and I can take it out." But nobody has taken anything out. And I've been so thankful to everybody being so open.
Yeah.
And I really loved doing it. So as soon as I was like, right, I've got to do a second series. So
absolutely.
This series, I'm going to be doing like focused episodes. So there's, we're going to be doing addiction and homophobia and eating disorders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
PTSD, all sorts.
Oh, wow.
But it's great.
But these are things that need to be talked about. But I think you've hit the nail on the head by, yes, we need to talk about them, but not in a like you say, like, not in a gratuitous way. It's not, we're not just talking about it to talk about it. We're actually talking about it so we can actually help and do something about it. Because I know there's sort of, again, sort of someone the other day, and they were going, "There's a lot of this, like, oh, my ADHD, my this, my that." And you go, okay, I get that. But there's some people... I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful. I don't mean that at all. But some people are kind of using it. They're kind of already flaky, and they're going, and it's just giving them an excuse to be a bit more flaky. It's like, "Oh, I can't do that because I'm feeling this." And you go, "Come on." You know, and so us just talking about it doesn't really help. It's like, okay, let's talk about it. And then talk about how we've managed it. And hopefully someone will get something from that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I wish podcasts, and definitely like podcasts about mental health, was around when my brain was forming, because I think if I understood that it wasn't, I just thought I was this neurotic mess. I didn't know that a lot of people had the same anxiety as me.
Yeah.
So it felt quite isolated. I already felt different because I was queer in a rural place, and then I had the anxiety on top of it. I'm really grateful that they exist now, and I'm glad that the kids that are feeling like they're alone feel a little less alone. God, that sounded wanky.
but that's it. That's the thing. Again, I think through the podcasts, you know, we are starting to realise that actually the mad, weird thoughts that we have are actually quite normal. We're actually all of us, like I've mentioned this many times on here, and we talk about when you start counselling, or when they're assessing you to see what sort of counselling you need or sort of therapy you need, then they'll say, have you had suicidal thoughts? And when I first told a friend of mine that I'd had them, and then he said, yes, have I? And then someone else said, yes, have I? Then more people do have them. It's on different levels.
It's just not talked about.
Yeah. So there's this stigma attached to the fact that, you know, a counsellor will go, so have you had suicidal thoughts? And then so we're like, oh, God, if I have. Does that mean I'm... Oh, God, does that mean I'm crazy? Does this mean I'm this or that? We go, no, it means you have empathy and you are sensitive.
You're affected.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I got asked that when I was being assessed, I just said no. I'm not mental. I was so terrified that I was going to get sectioned as soon as I started being actually honest. So my first set of counselling was not that effective because I was holding back a bit. But as I've done it more and more, I'm on my third counsellor now, and I'm much more open with her. Like, I've only had two sessions with her, but we dug into stuff really quickly, which is amazing. I had to actually break up with my old therapist because I felt she was bringing her own shit to the sessions. she kind of got a bit short with me, and I was like, do you know what? I don't know if this is the best thing for me.
I had that with my last one. Yeah. But yeah, he was
but
sitting there.
I think that's like a really good sign that you're like, oh, I'm recognizing what my needs are and doing something about it.
Yes.
I was actually really proud of myself for being like, you're not what I need anymore. But I did thank her. I was like, but it's because of the work we've done Sorry, I cut you off there.
I kind of got excited and spoke over you. I do apologise. We were both... You know what? It's funny because we've never met before. And so normally when I have people on, I've had an interaction with them or I've met them or, you know, so, but this is brand new. So I was like, we don't know each other. So I was like, I wonder how it's going to go. But the energy's already brilliant. It's already like, oh my God, why haven't we spoken before? This is, and now we're all excited and it's great.
I know.
I love it.
Yeah, beaming. Yeah, sorry. My cat is just asking to come in.
Go on. Yep.
I was going to ask her about that. It sounded like a cat was being sick in then.
Is that what it was?
I had a cat. I've heard a fly.
I thought that was in here.
And some birds and stuff. I mean, it's almost transporting us to, the countryside.
You're getting a little taste of the countryside.
Yeah, it's lovely. Anyway.
All right.
Back to it.
He may interrupt. I'm sorry. He is quite vocal. That's why I had him outside, but he was... determined to come in.
Here we are. That's all right. There he is.
Yeah.
It was funny with the fly because I thought it was in here.
I didn't even hear it.
next podcast, I'm going to play one in as a sound effect.
Yeah. What sort of cat is it?
He's black and white, short for Moggy type thing.
Yeah, right.
He's a big fat cat. And I swear, through lockdown, if I didn't have him, I would have gone insane.
It's funny with pets, isn't it? Yeah, I grew up. When I grew up, we had cats, but I'm more of a dog person. And I just did these gigs. Well, I don't know. I think I just love animals, really.
Yeah.
I just did these gigs with Jared Christmas, and he's got a little pug, a little black pug called Mavis. Oh. And honestly, Mavis and I just fell in love. We've just been hugging for the last 2 days, just hugging and licking each other.
They are so cute.
Yeah. I think it's just having that something around to keep you company.
Yeah, another heartbeat.
Yes.
You know, I got thinking about this morning, actually, because I'd done this. I hadn't done it in a long time. I lay on his belly and listen to it as a soothing thing.
Yeah.
And I remembered I actually used to do that with my mum when I was a kid. I don't know what that is. Like, maybe it's like wanting to go back into the womb. Things were simpler then.
I think it is. Yeah, there is a soothing thing to that, isn't there? Yeah, it's just, it's a nice feeling, isn't it? Just that hearing that. Yeah, it's lovely. So I mean, like I say, I've had therapy. I'm about to I'm about to have some more. I've booked some in, which is just because there's just been, it's been quite a traumatic year, and there's been stuff that's happened that I need to go and unpack.
Yeah, and I
think, you know, this comes up a lot on here, obviously. And there is, I think, people just going and talking to someone outside of your life and just going, look, and being honest with them as well. That's the key. Because I know people
that's the hard part.
Yeah, I know people that have had therapy for a long time. And they were saying, oh, I can do this now and I can do that now. I'm like, I don't think you're being honest with your therapist. You have to be honest and admit, you go, look, I don't think I'm perfect. This is the problem, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. You've got to reveal your ugliest parts, basically. The stuff that keeps you up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like that stuff needs to come out. It's only going to get more and more toxic the more you keep it in.
Yes.
But it is very hard, being able to fully trust somebody in that way.
Mm.
Even if you don't have trust issues, it's just it basically making yourself completely vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's something, it's just a bit icky, isn't it?
Well, this is it. Well, my ex and I were having couples counselling. And at one point the counsellor said, she said, you do seem to be overly worried about what I think of you, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I said, that is a problem. I do worry. I have this mad, I need to be liked by everybody. And it upsets me when I'm not.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know where that comes from. And she kind of unpacked that for me. But you do, you've got to not worry about, your therapist isn't judging you and sitting there going, oh, what a piece of shit. You're there because they want to help you. So if there are bits of you that you are a bit of a piece of shit, they'll help you navigate that.
Yeah. If you want to be less of a piece of shit, you've got to say the things that make you a piece of shit and then you can work them out.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's my, when I'm feeling super depressed, that's my internal monologue. You're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And it becomes so much so that when I'm in that headspace, I won't talk at all.
Right,
about stuff. I'll talk about meaningless shit, but I won't talk about real stuff.
But that's the thing.
Got there for a while. Which is good.
Well, this is I've said this before as well. That if you're lying on your, and I've said this is a bit material, but I think it's true. If you're lying on your bed, and you're thinking, oh my god, I'm a bit of a cunt.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a cunt because cunts don't think that way. They're cunts. No. So if you're thinking that way, I bet you you're not a piece of shit at all. You know, and we can all be cunty at times. Mm-hmm. We can all do that, but it doesn't mean you're fundamentally that you're a cunt, you know. That's the difference. The fact that you're thinking about it,
we're multifaceted people. There's many different sides to us. I'm pretty sure at the moment I'm not feeling like I'm a piece of shit.
No.
I'm actually feeling quite positive, which is great.
Good.
But I'm just trying to ride this positivity. I've been doing comedy since, probably about 3 years or something.
Okay.
And that whole time my mental health has been up and down, up and down. And I've never felt comfortable enough to do a competition.
Mm.
Even though I'm I do good. I'm a funny person, you know.
I get, do you know so what? I get that vibe from you. I reckon you're all right, actually. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. So I was right, I'm going to enter a contest. So I've done it and I'm doing one in July.
Nice.
And I can't fucking wait.
Amazing. But this is it. It's I'm fundamentally a shy person. So the fact that I get up and do stand-up still to this day blows my mind. To the point now, because I've been going 17 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more comfortable on stage doing my thing than I do in real life. Because up there, I don't have to worry about real life. All I have to do is worry about, it's not even about attention. It's about being in this bubble of, I'm just making people laugh and I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about bills and any other shit that's going on, you know? It's a nice place to be. And,
it feels quite serene when
it does.
You've got a whole room full of people laughing at something you've said.
Yes.
I like it.
And I reckon I can feel it. I reckon I'm gonna check you out because I reckon you're
right.
Great. Yeah, you got a good vibe. Good vibe. You got a good vibe. But it's
thanks,
but,
man. So do you.
No, thank you. But what got you into it? What made you want to do comedy?
I have been a comedy nerd forever, and even before I was doing comedy, I was listening to Comedian's Comedian and
Yeah.
loads of different podcasts about how you do comedy. And I would squat up about any like new names I heard about. And I actually was told when I was 19, oh, the way you tell a story is like a stand up. Like, you should try it. I was told it by a very creepy older bloke. So I was like, okay.
Can't you apologize?
But I mean, it fed into my ego. I was like, fucking funny. But I was in Somerset until I was 28, and then I moved to London. I was like, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna do it. I met this woman at a club, and I didn't realize she was a comedian. I just wanted to go out with her. So we ended up being really good mates, and she was like, you're the funniest non-comedian I've ever met. And wow. I was like, actually, I really want to do comedy. And so she put me on her show. So my first ever gig was at the Bill Murray.
No way.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like a sold out night. It felt incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's like me. I started at, I was the resident every Friday up the creek when it was in, they used to have one in Croydon because my ex-partner used to run it. And because of that, because I did that gig, I thought all gigs were like that. So then I'd go off and do an open mic somewhere. And I'm like, oh my God, this is dog shit. Why am I here? Just get spoilt.
yeah, totally. Yeah, my next gig was in a basement of a cafe in Brixton. It was quite a different vibe.
There you go.
But it was still good. It was still good.
Just good to be doing it, isn't it? It's good to be doing it.
Oh, man. Yeah, totally. I really miss it. I'm actually in the process of starting. Well, I found a venue because I do this night sub fun.
Yes.
Which is a lot of fun, despite the name. And loads of people think it's got like a sexual element to it. I just thought it was funny to call a night sub fun.
Well, it's funny. When I looked, I always have a look and check the guests out before you come on. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, does that mean, are we talking about sub? I was like, okay, no, not at all.
No, it's subjectively funny. But sub fun for sure. Got ya.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm doing outdoor gigs for the people that are a bit like me, a bit tentative about being in basements again. In Broccoli, but I'm not in London at the moment, so I can't get them going, but I'm hoping by June. You'll have to come along and be our token straight guy.
Mate, I'd be honoured. I'd be absolutely delighted. Absolutely delighted. Do you know what? That's funny that's happening now. It's nice that it's going the other way, where it used to be they'd have one woman on or one person who was gay, you know, or one person of colour. You know, and that's when I started in 2004. It was very much like that. And now it's like, it's very much, and absolutely it should. There's like the one straight guy. It's how it should be, mate. It's how it should be.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you see an all-white lineup now.
That's bizarre. Know? It's bizarre. It's like, have you not seen the news, mate? You need to change this.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm trying to be as diverse as possible. So I'm like going for people that have like disabilities or race or whatever. Just try, like, the only criteria for sub fun at the moment is be a woman or queer to perform. But I'll make an exception for you, Rich.
Thank you. I'll just tell my gay sauna story. That'll just
yeah, absolutely. There you go.
But that's it, isn't it? It should be more inclusive. Everything should be, you know. And it's a shame that. It's a shame that we are having to like make that extra effort. It should just be. But that's because things have just been so shit for so long. And without anyone, it just didn't occur to anybody. It's only now that everyone's going, actually, mate, that wasn't great. And you go, oh, shit, yeah, sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah. Like, it's like this fog is lifted from your eyes. You're like, oh, fuck, I'm part of the problem. Okay, like, what can I do?
Yeah, and it's not because you don't give a shit. It's not because you're an arsehole.
No,
you're just wrapped up in doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. And I've had this conversation with my parents recently, or not them, friends of theirs. And they were going, oh, well, you know, I'm just sick of this now. It's, you know, ramming it down our throats, black people, gay people. It's like, oh, we get it. I'm like, no, you don't get it. Because it's not been that way. Imagine growing up, you're a person of colour, or you're gay or trans, and everything on the television, every movie has been just straight white people. since the beginning of movies. You know, and it's like, you know, like Blaxploitation.
Where's my fucking story?
Yeah, where's my story? Where are my people? And and then they're talking now about, oh, you know, if it's a, if the character's gay, then it should be a gay actor playing that, that character. And and you're like, well, why? Yeah, of course.
So
why
it feels so strange now to like see, like, what's the bloke's name in The Danish Girl? Like a male actor playing that role. That wasn't that long ago. It seems fucking insane that that was the casting. I'm sure he did a great job. Didn't see it. But like, come the fuck on. Like, what do you think you're doing?
I know.
Sorry, we're both...
No, go on, you do.
But it's just like, in recent years, seeing dating apps that are advertising to women, because usually it would just be, if they were going to do a gay thing, it would be two middle-class white guys. That would be the only thing. But you're seeing, I mean, it's still not enough, but you're seeing a lot more of like two women on a date. And like just normal adverts where it's a couple and it happens to be a female lesbian relationship, like fucking brilliant.
And that's the point. It just happens to be that.
Yeah.
It's not a, it's like, what's that TV show now? Oh God, what's it called? I can't remember what it's called.
Is it a gay one?
No, but the character in it is gay, but it's not even a problem. It's not even a thing.
Oh, okay.
Like, they haven't made it, it's not even like, it's not even part of the story.
It's not the storyline.
No, he just happens to be gay, which is how it should be. And it's a really
Yeah, totally.
It's got the guy, it's a comedy show. It's got the guy in it from This Is England, Joe Thingy Bob. Oh, God, I can't remember what it's called. It'll come to me, it'll come to me. But the character, but the character in it's gay, but it's not a thing. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing, I'm a big fan of the, oh God, the mess off my head now. Fucking hell, it's catching.
Yeah, sorry.
My mum works with loads of people with dementia and we feel like we're just like getting it by osmosis. Right. It's a Ryan Murphy one and there was like a haunted house one, there was a circus one.
Something
haunted or something. Fucking hell.
Shit, I know what you mean. This is a terrible podcast now. There's no information.
But there was a second one called Asylum, and the main character was lesbian, and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't the storyline. She just happened to be gay, and that was a real eye opener for me. Like I was like, oh fuck, that's really great. That it's not. It's not part of the storyline. It's just part of.
It's just part of it.
That's what she is, and that was in like 2013, 14 or something.
That's it.
And I thought, brilliant.
The Haunting. producer Paul just put it up on the screen. It's The Haunting.
The Haunting. Series.
Yeah, The Haunting series. Netflix answer to American Horror.
American Horror Story.
American Horror Story. Right. Oh yeah. Yes. Ryan. Yeah. Ryan Murphy. There you go.
Ryan Murphy. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. And then the other one, I don't know what the other one was, but I'm sure producer Paul will find it.
I'm trying.
This is, I can't remember his name. The Joe Duggan, Joe Gitt, oh, what was his fucking name? It's a.
Is he the one that was also in Misfits?
Yeah, him. Guy. Yeah, him.
Yeah. Brassic.
Yeah, Brassic. Joe Gilgan.
We did it.
Well done, mate.
Right, just edit all that stuff out for we'll sound really on it.
Of course I will. Of course I remember to do that.
Yeah. Goosey will. Well done, producer Paul. But that's it. It should be, it's an irrelevance. Your sexuality is irrelevant. You know, no one's, you don't see all these stories and they're going, oh, by the way, they're straight. You know, it's like, you know.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't need to be a thing. It just is. Yeah.
So, do you identify as? Are you a they or are you a he or she? Like, what?
I would say she. I guess I don't know. I have been thinking about this. Like, I love being a woman. I definitely do. But there's definitely more masculine traits to me.
Mm.
But I go through phases. Sometimes I'll be a bit more masculine. Sometimes I'll be a bit more feminine.
Yeah.
Just how I feel when I wake up, really.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that I like everybody, I'm a bit on a spectrum, but I'd say I'm female in a gay relationship.
Yeah.
I say queer because I don't really see myself as gay, but I definitely, I see myself as a bit more gay than bi. Yeah. So queer kind of covers it for me.
It's funny how that word now is being, you know, it's being reclaimed, whereas, you know, growing up, you know, when I was a kid, you know, oh, you're queer and all that sort of thing. And we talked about that with 1990s Chris, actually. We were talking about that word.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, it's fascinating that what queer actually means, you know, because I didn't really know before. You just go, oh, it means you're gay, but...
Yeah, it's an umbrella. I think it's... I love that it's been reclaimed, you know, because I remember being little and it being used as a slur and like going in, now I'm in my mid-30s, I'm like, no, it's been reclaimed and it's got this whole new life.
Yeah.
And that's quite cool.
Well, it makes sense, actually.
Yeah, totally. I did this thing. So this is when I was working permanently in an agency, and I won't say which one. But me and a lesbian that I worked with wanted to do a little talk about queerness on the week of Pride.
Yeah.
Because it was a predominantly straight environment, and there was a lot of heavy male toxic masculinity, you know.
Yeah, right.
So we thought, why not just go in and give a little bit of knowledge. So we did this whole talk and we went through LGBTQIA and what it all means and all this other stuff. And at the end, it was really nice, actually. Loads of the blokes came up to us and said, oh, thanks so much for doing that, because I really didn't know and I didn't know how to ask. And I said, well, I mean, I think this is the best way to do it. Do it in a fun way to educate people, make sure that everybody goes out there with a bit more knowledge. And he took my friend to one side and said, so can I call people queer? And she said, like, I would leave it to them. But I said to her, like, you should have said, you can, but as long as it's not through gritted teeth. Like, it's all about your intention.
Exactly.
But I would leave it to them to call themselves queer.
Yeah.
Still that little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't mind being called queer.
It's one of the, it's definitely up to the person to tell you that they're queer, rather than you asking, you queer then? You queer? Yeah, especially with my accent, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I find it funny thinking about like old slurs. Like my grandpa used to always call gay people shirt lifters.
Oh God, yeah.
I just think it's the funniest image for me. Like, I know where it comes from, but it's just so funny.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I remember. I think I might have said this before, but when I was a kid, we'd watched this TV show, and the guy in it was an electrician and he was gay. And then every time, like, we'd be watching TV and there'd be someone who was quite camp on the TV, and my dad would go, oh, he's an electrician, isn't he? I was like, okay. Different times, more innocent times.
Oh, totally.
Like, yeah, like, he didn't mean it. He wasn't being derogatory. No. He was just having a laugh.
No, I've got a mate now that whenever she sees a gay woman and we're together, she's like, oh, one of your lot.
Do you know her?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, like, she's Indian, and she said, I took her home to Somerset with me once, and I took her to the pub that I was working at, and there was this guy. He's a lovely bloke, but he was just your, like, typical, not had any sort of interaction with anybody different to him.
Yeah.
Somerset guy. And she is born and bred London, supports Man United, likes a beer, likes her feet. And she got herself a roast dinner and a pint. And, like, I think she said to it, he was wearing a Man U top, and she said to him, oh, nice one, Man U. And he shook her hand. It's so funny. And she saw the funny side in it. Like, he means no harm by it, but it's just literally blew his mind that this Indian woman would like a pint and be into Man U. Bless him.
Well, this is it. It's a brave new world for lots of people. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my flatmate the other day, and we were talking about that people that we know that are now there are they and not like he or she, and I was trying to have the conversation with him, and I kept just fucking it up. So in the end, I'm just like, should we just talk about, I don't know how to do it, I don't know what to do. I keep going they, them, it, them. Well, not it, but, you know, he, yeah. I can't get it wrong. Like, she, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
That was, that's it. Someone's partner is now, and they're not a she anymore, they're a they.
Right.
And I'm trying to have the conversation. I just keep getting it wrong and mispronouncing and just getting it. I just stood there and I went, I don't know.
I'm trying. I think that is what's important. And I think, being able to say, oh, I'm really sorry, rather than just like, because it's quite a British thing to say something wrong, maybe a little bit offensive, and then just try and act like it didn't happen.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's the worst thing, to like address it and say, I didn't mean to misgender you, I didn't mean to dead name you, whatever it is you've done.
Yeah.
And just be like, I'm really sorry, I'll try and be better. This is all we can do as humans. Try and be better.
We're learning.
You know?
And there needs to be empathy on both sides. There needs to be understanding on both sides. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 totally. Yeah, this is something I really liked because I listened back to a couple of your episodes because I do really love this podcast.
Oh, nice one. Thank you.
I really like that you say it quite often, that it's like life is the journey. It's not the destination. And it's about just trying to be good in the moment and working on yourself. I think that's really important.
And it's constant. There isn't really a destination. Yeah. It's just life.
It's
and
just
then one
life.
Day,
it's
yeah, and then
journey.
one day you're not here anymore. So you try and be as good as you can. Like, you can't really change the big stuff. Like, you can't change what's happening in other countries. Like, it's shocking and it's sad, and you wish you could do something. But you can't really do anything about it. You could just take care of your little area, you know, and make sure that you're as good as you can be.
Definitely. I think that's really important. I think taking responsibility for your community.
Yeah.
In whatever way that is, it could be something big, it could be something small. It could be just literally as small as checking if your neighbour's all right or whatever, and then that passes on and on and on, you know.
Absolutely, I think there is something in, and it might sound hippy-dippy or whatever, but there's something in, if you put out positive energy into the universe, it will start coming back to you. And I say that as someone that has experienced that very recently. Uh-huh. I was in a very negative place. And so everything, my whole output was quite negative and dour. Uh-huh. And kind of, I was in a really bad place mentally, and I wasn't myself. But then I started to work on myself and start to change the bits I was unhappy with. And then suddenly I was projecting all this positivity, and now positivity is coming back. And now I'm hearing stories of other people that are having positive things. And it does. If you radiate that stuff out, it does work. I'm a strong believer in energy, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it
works.
And like now, this conversation we're having, I feel electric. And I know we're going to go away from this.
Too.
I'm going to go, oh, I'm glad we did that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, me too. That's really cool. I'm glad that's had that influence. I'm taking that away too. I'm going to be having a great start to the weekend.
Absolutely. It's a bank holiday.
I know. It's going to be nice weather. Like, holy shit.
Exactly. It's going to be spectacularly brilliant. What a weekend.
Yes.
Great.
Mate.
Where did you meet your partner, may I ask?
Yeah, we actually met, it's down to one of her best mates. She put her on this dating app, and I wasn't looking for anything serious, but she's pretty special. So I got over myself and went head first into the relationship.
Nice.
So we just met on an app and had the most amazing first date I've ever had.
Amazing.
She's incredible. Without her and my cat, I don't think my mental health would be in the place that it is right now.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's nice to have people around you like that can lift you up rather than try to squash you.
Well, this housemate I used to have, she told me that in life there are drains and there are radiators.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's an absolute radiator.
That is what a beautiful way. What a beautiful way to put it. That's spectacular. I really like that. Oh, I'm taking that. That's going in. That's going in. So what's next? What's next for you? What plans have you got? What's happening?
Well, I mean, I want to get going with the Subfun live shows. I've got that contest I'm going to do. And yep. I'm also, in lockdown, I've devised a concept for a panel show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's going to be the Subfun panel show.
Fantastic.
That way I don't have to design a new logo.
The less admin, the better, yeah.
Yeah, so it's I've basically devised, it's just going to be silly little games, and each round has the name of a celebrity with a pun in it, which right. is the game.
Okay.
And you have to say if I think that that person is fun or subhuman.
Wow, that sounds great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I look yeah, forward to so, that. That looks fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to get that together, and I think with the live shows, I'll try and do a round of that just to see how it works as a format. So, yeah, more podcasts, more shows. I'm just excited to get gigging, really.
Brilliant.
What about you? What are your plans this summer?
Yeah, same. Just carrying on, keep doing different things, keeping busy so that so we keep the clouds at bay, you know? I think that's what I've learned, rather than...
Yeah.
And it's hard, like you said earlier, every now and again, when people don't really understand depression sometimes. They just go, I'll shrug it off. But sometimes it's debilitating. And you lay Absolutely. In bed and you just feel so worthless. And then you get into this spiral of, you know, eat shit food and whatever you're doing and doing things that aren't good for you. And then you just end up getting further and further into it. So it does take a lot sometimes to just go, I know I need to go and do that podcast. I need to go and talk to someone. And like you said earlier, by doing that, it kind of pulls you out of it, doesn't it? You go, I'm glad I did that. Yeah. It's so easy to go, no, I'm not going to go. I'm going to pull out of these plans. I'm going to cancel it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important. If I'm going to say this to people now, if you make plans to go and see someone, fight all those urges to cancel. Go and see them.
Yeah. It's so easy to give in to that voice that says you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think now more than ever, it's important to do things.
Oh,
and I
God,
think this past year has really taught me that I need structure and I need routine and I need projects. I just need projects.
Well, that was it, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. If there's nothing going on, make something yourself.
Yeah, you know? That's it. It's that. I think it's that. Yeah, we weren't needed anywhere, were we, this last year? Mm-hmm. And I think that really caused a problem. We didn't have any choice, so choices were taken away. So even if you don't really want to go to the pub or you don't want to go to the shops, mm-hmm. you couldn't. We didn't have the choice wasn't there, and mm-hmm. that really affected us. And then no one needed us anywhere. You're like, human beings need to be needed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I think you're right. Nicola, this has been spectacular. I'm really glad we did this, mate. I'm really glad.
Yeah, really nice to meet you.
Nice. And where can we find you on the socials?
Oh, so on Twitter, I'm Nicola is funny. And on Instagram, I'm Nicola Stephen is funny. And you can find details about the shows on subfun_ on Instagram.
Fantastic. Beautiful. Really good. I love that drain and radiator, man. That is excellent.
Yes. It's true.
Love that.
That's, separate people into two groups. It's true. It's true.
Excellent.
And you're a definite radiator.
Ah, yes, mate. Dan, so are you. I'm glad us two radiators met.
Absolutely.
Nice one, man.
Need
nice
to go
one.
Forward
Thank
with
you.
This positive energy.
Absolutely. That's something else as well. I always say man. I go, oh, man. But I mean it as it's an exclamation. I don't mean mm-hmm. it. There's no sexuality or gender attached.
Me too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The same with guys.
Yeah.
I don't mean men.
No.
Yeah, I'll get a guy in.
It's a collection.
It doesn't matter what gender.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. We need to claim those as genderless words.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nicola. This has been great.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. All right. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.